This is the University of Georgia Griffin News, brought to you over WKU AM 1450, 102.3 FM, The Rock 88.9 FM, and stream live on WKUradio.com. This program is to update our listeners on the many and exciting things at the University of Georgia Griffin with Dr. Lou Honeycutt and his guests. The program is made possible by Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farms and Murray & Company Realtors. And now today's program with Dr. Lou Honeycutt.
And unfortunately, today's opening was fraught with misinformation, as today Dr. Lou Honeycutt will not be hosting the program. Instead, he is going to be the guest. I'm Tony Broski, filling in for Dr. Honeycutt, who is having his final program with us here on WKEU and the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. Kind of a bittersweet performance for you, I would suspect, Dr. Honeycutt.
It is. I tell you what, it is. This has been one of the funnest things I've gotten to do in the years I've been here, because I get to just be Lou for an hour, and it's been great. But so it is. The whole thing's bittersweet.
But, you know, I know it's got to be hard to walk away from a campus that you have given so much energy and devotion towards.
Sure, it is. I mean, from the very start, and just for the listeners out there, this job came looking for me. I didn't go looking for it. Once it did, it was just something that I could not look at. But it has been a tough decision. I haven't even packed my office yet, and tomorrow's my last day, but that's just final.
Well, yeah, I mean, that really does bring pulls the curtain down.
It does.
Like nothing else would. But we're going to turn the tables on you here just a little bit. And you always make your guests start out with a little bit of their background, their story.
Sure.
I mean, people hear you each and every week, but don't necessarily know the background of Dr. Lou Honeycutt.
Sure.
So why don't you fill us in?
No, that's good. Boy, getting the tables turned, finally. That's everyone listening that's been on the show is happy to hear that. But, no, I mean, and some of y'all have heard me certainly say this if you've heard me talk anywhere else before, but I'm from Texas originally, born and raised on ranches and in rural areas, and had a really, really incredible upbringing with two great parents and lots of mentors and all that good kind of stuff, but never really thought about education at all above high school.
As I recall, you were going to plan your career as a rancher until your grandmother bent your ear.
She did. She, you know, I've said on this show a million times, and I will continue to say in the rest of my life, I hope everyone has a mentor in their life that can literally change their lives by just speaking to them. And she said to me the immortal words one day, there's more to you than this. When I told her, because she asked me what I was going to do. I was 18, didn't want to go to college. And she said, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm on a ranch. That's all I want to do. I want to stay where I'm at. She said, there's more to you than this. And she literally almost took me kicking and screaming to college, but it worked. And then I got the bug and stayed and got what my dad would call as enough degrees to make a thermometer. So it, I got the bug though, and I wanted to teach and do research. And so I moved around, got a bachelor's degree in Texas, a master's degree in New Mexico at New Mexico State, another master's degree at the University of Wyoming, and then a PhD at the University of Wyoming, which only proves that perseverance pays, because I was not smart enough to get a PhD, but I stuck with it long enough. They just said, give it to him so he'll get out of here.
Well, you've certainly seen the country in the process.
Absolutely. And met so many great people, and took my first teaching job in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and I was a starving college kid, and the food there is so good.
McNeese State,
yeah, in Lake Charles. Awesome. McNeese Cowboys. And, but in my first 6 months, gained about 60 pounds because all they did was eat. It was awesome food, too. So it hadn't lost all that yet, so it stuck with me for 25 years. But kind of wanted to get back to Texas, and had an opportunity to go back to Southwest Texas State, now Texas State San Marcos, and taught there for a good long while, worked on the educational ranch that we had, and then moved to a place called Sela Bamberger Ranch. Is a private ranch that – so if you want to go look at something pretty awesome, Google Sela Bamberger Ranch. It's David Bamberger, who co-founded Church's Fried Chicken, by the way, bought the worst piece of property in the Texas Hill Country and rejuvenated it over years. It's in about its 40th year, I think. But incredible opportunity to go teach about 3,000 people a year on land use and the correct ways to do things. While I was there, my father was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. He was a lifetime smoker, so although it was a shock, it wasn't too much of a surprise. And so I knew I needed to get back to the Texas Panhandle, which Texas is a big place. It's farther from my mom's house to the tip of Texas than my mom's house to here. So it's a big place. And I was in the central part, but it was still about 12 hours away from my parents. And so I knew I needed to get back. I took a position as a director at a small community college in the Panhandle of Texas. Stayed there 12 years, moved up to vice president, and A friend of mine 4 years ago, 4 years and several months ago, sent me an email and said, you need to click this link. And it was a link to this job here, the Assistant Provost and Griffin Campus Director. Well, the first picture I saw when I Googled the campus was the experiment station sign that we still have out front. And it hooked me. Then I saw a Griffin Bigfoot picture, and I don't know what all else I saw, and the Woodruff Pavilion. And those three things, including the Bigfoot, kind of said, I think I need to be there.
Well, speaking of the Woodruff Pavilion, they will be having an event there tomorrow between 3 and 5
exactly.
p.m. in your honor, as the people on the campus and the community are invited to bid you a fond farewell.
Sure. And I tell you what, it's been – I'm not a big one for being the center of attention at parties and things, but I think this is going to be great. And it's just a come and go. I mean, no – expectations, do not bring anything except yourselves, but just a time to just kind of say not goodbye, but farewell for now. It's only 7 hours away, and North Carolina touches Georgia, so you know it's not like I'm abandoning everybody. But
well, you are going to be moving on, but and we'll get to that first,
okay.
And then we'll backtrack and really focus on your time here on the UGA Griffin campus. But you are advancing to Nash Community College in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Tell us a little bit about that institution and how it differs from what you've experienced on the UGA Griffin campus.
Absolutely. It is a community college, so it's kind of the reverse of Griffin. We have the third and fourth year. We have junior and senior level instruction. Nash's first and second year as a community college, and there's not the research component that there is at the major university of the University of Georgia, but it is a pretty incredible community college. There are 58 in the state of North Carolina, and it's ranked right up there at the top of the 58. There are about 4,600 students, academic students there, with about another 8,000 in technical programs and certificates, so a large student body, all commuter, which is a common thing with the Griffin campus. There's no dormitory and things like that. But among other things, they have a terrific amount of workforce training, like law enforcement, culinary. There's a radio station there, so you never know. I may be on it. I don't know, but they may not let me. It's called Big Bang Radio. But they may we may do a radio show, something about the president. And then there's also a television station on campus. So it's really a progressive campus. It's been there since 1967, as you said. The current president has been at the campus for 31 years and president for 14. So he's retiring in the most incredible way. He's built four new buildings in his time, and just leaving on the best possible circumstances. He will leave on October 31st. I will start on November 1st. So it's a quick turnover for the people of Nash Community College.
So where is Rocky Mount in relation to the cities that we all in North Carolina know?
Absolutely. That's a great question. If you think about Raleigh, which is kind of central to North Carolina, the mountains are west, the ocean's east. Rocky Mount sits about 48 miles northeast of Raleigh, so it's right where the Piedmont and the coastal plain meet. So a lot of hardwoods. It's a beautiful area. Not as many pines.
Your soil people at UGA would love that.
Absolutely. I mean, they're going to appreciate that I use the correct words, too. But so it's set in the college, and one of the great things about it for me is everyone that knows me knows I come from a very rural part of Texas. And I love Griffin, though, but this college sits in between two towns. So it sits in between Rocky Mount, which is 65,000 people, and Nashville, which everybody says is the original Nashville because it was founded before that little one in Tennessee that everybody knows about. So it sits between the two towns in Nash County, kind of in the middle of the rural part of the farming community. So it's really kind of perfect for the situation I want to be in.
Well, as far as do they have agricultural programs at Nash?
They do not, which is kind of weird. A lot of friends of mine are saying, what are you doing? You just keep moving farther.
So you have really embraced the academic side.
Absolutely. They have a vet tech program, and they are thrilled that there's only one president in of the 58 colleges that has an ag background. That's the current president at Nash. So they are thrilled that the second president to ever have an ag background in the state is coming.
You think that might have helped?
It may have helped because we talked about vet tech, and you know me well enough, and anybody that knows me well enough, that I think what they've since I've been hired have told me is they just felt comfortable with me in a very short amount of time, and I felt the same way with them. It was like talking to you or talking to people I've known forever, talking to the board. And so they're very down to earth, very, and it's different than Georgia in that Nash has its own board. Texas is the same way. It's not a regent state where Board of Regents control all the colleges and universities. Nash Community College has a board, and there are advantages and disadvantages to that. The advantage is the board's right there. I mean, the board president went and looked at houses with me when I went back, which was great. The disadvantage sometimes is the board's right there. I mean, you know, there's you want a little distance sometimes, so it's good and bad.
Yeah,
but
I would think that there could be some nitpicking,
sure,
over very trivial things, but by the same time, as you say, because the board is right there, they're going to be much more familiar with the things that need to happen on their campus.
Exactly, and that's one of the things I really liked about the Texas. That was something I had to get used to in Georgia. I wasn't used to not seeing a board that just had my campus in mind. And in at Nash, it'll be that way. They're four appointed by the governor, two by the county, and I can't remember the other appointments, but they're appointed, not elected, and so they have a distinct interest in making Nash Community College healthy and surviving. So that's a good thing.
Well, we're going to borrow a question from the movie Gladiator.
Okay.
When a man sees his end, he wants to know that his life meant something. That and what he was meaning was there has to be some sort of legacy. What do you want your legacy at your time at UGA Griffin to be?
You know, that is such a great question. I was eating at my legacy yesterday thinking that answer to that very question. And while I want there to be a lot of additional things from a structural or physical standpoint, one of the things I'm most proud of, I'm proud of two major things, but one of them is the Dundee Cafe. I mean, that is not my original idea. Jerry Arkin, my predecessor, had put that bug in people's ear early on and before the downfall of 2008 that there needed to be in that building some kind of snack bar or something. I just kind of put it on steroids and ran with it. But to be able to leave a campus with a food service that's the quality that we have in a building that's incredible and historical, which is something that's right up my alley, that to me is going to be a great legacy. We built Food Pick and Turf Grass while I was there, the new buildings, but I didn't have anything to do with those. They were already in place, or in the plans were in place when I got here. I get to kind of take a little credit. I don't say I very often, but because there's a big, giant team that made this happen. But and I would be remiss without mentioning Tom Gardner, who was the person that shared the vision that I was able to share the vision with, that gave us the funding to do it. But that's one of the things that I'm grateful that we have and get to leave behind. But the other one's a little broader. What I have seen in 4 years, and it's been a fast 4 years, but what I have seen is the level of pride in that campus rise in Athens and in Griffin with people. From the grounds crew up, from the custodial services up, from everybody there, there just is a new – I'm not worried at all about walking away because I know it's not going to slide anywhere. It's going to go up from here. So that I think leaving that – hopefully I've had something to do with that, leaving that kind of sense of pride that's a little bit increased.
Well, speaking of sense of pride, certainly there has to be some that enrollment under your leadership – skyrocketed.
Sure, we have. We've increased this, certainly in the graduate programs we have. And
half of that is you pressuring the employees on the UGA Griffin campus. But
Get a degree. That's right. I mean, I like to empower people to better themselves through education if that's what they choose to do. But certainly, yes, we have our graduate program. Not that undergraduate programs aren't. We have a challenge with undergraduate programs in that we are only third and fourth year, which means we have to convince someone to come after they've been somewhere for 2 years. We can do that. But also, it's a little more expensive to come to UGA than it is to some of the other colleges that are local. And local colleges are incredible. I'll state one. The president's been on here with me, but Gordon State College is an incredible local college. That if I'm a kid going to school there after 2 years, I'm probably going to stay and get my Gordon degree and get the same job I would have gotten if I'd have come to Griffin. So it's a challenge for us to convince someone, come pay more and come to Georgia if you're not destined to be a University of Georgia student, if that's not your goal.
But by the same token, you know, as great as Gordon is, they don't have the world-class research
facilities
and the professors who are, you know, globally renowned in their fields.
Absolutely. And our students get to work with these people. They see them walking. They eat at the cafe with them.
It looks great on a resume when they complete
sure
their degree.
Sure
and
it does.
And as you always point out, you know, a University of Georgia Griffin degree has Griffin not mentioned anywhere on the diploma.
Nope.
It is University of Georgia.
It is. Dr. Moorhead signs ours just like he signs the others. And that's one of the great carrots that we have is that that we have an incredible international renowned faculty that are on campus, that instructional and research, that no one can match around us, quite frankly. But the way we look at it with Southern Crescent, Gordon, and us, and thanks to Alveda Thomas, president of Southern Crescent, and Kirk Nooks, president of Gordon, there's enough to go around. And so what they have looked at, and I've certainly embraced with them, we kind of call it a triad. I think I'm the shorter leg of the stool, but anyway, we look at it as a three-legged stool. There's, in this region, if we concentrate regionally, there are plenty of students to go around. And what we've got to do is work together to get the students in Gordon or wherever else they might want to go. But certainly we want to feed to Gordon, who are destined to be at UGA but can't come to us till their junior year. So let's get them in there, recruit them, keep talking to them while they're at Gordon, recruit them on to Griffin, and I think we'll see continued growth. Melissa Gordon and her team have done an incredible job. A team of two, I might add. There's not a whole lot of them, but they've done an incredible job about getting the word out that you can come to UGA and Griffin.
Well, this may be a bit of an unfair question, but oftentimes when the head coach leaves, other coaches follow. Is anybody from your staff going to be making
everybody? No. You know, the funny thing is the Nash Community College has not had a new president in 14 years. So most of the people, most of the VPs, most of the other people haven't. They've only known one president. So the panic, and I didn't realize it until I went back to look for houses. The panic that ensued after the new president was chosen was, is he going to get rid of all of us? Is he bringing all those people from Georgia? And so I had to get the person who will be my assistant to send out an email saying, look, we're everybody's fine. Just calm down. We're gonna take a look at this and kind of do a learning year and see what happens. So to answer that question, no. I mean, I've talked to several of mine and said, hey, if anything ever opens up, you know, I would sure like to see an application from you. But two reasons I haven't really recruited anyone hard. And there's some I would like to. I'm leaving after tomorrow. I'll be off the Griffin campus. I mean, I'll be back a little bit, but my love of the Griffin campus is not diminished one iota. And I critically want to see the success continue. And so there were some key positions I could have probably yanked with me and said, hey, I can offer you more money. I can do whatever. I just wouldn't do that. Now, if in a year from now, 2 years from now, a position opens up, I'll probably let people here know, because there's some incredible people, but they're incredible where they are now too. And I want there to just be a seamless transition to me being here to me not being here. And with Dave Button, who is he's been on the show before and is a professor of entomology, he is the interim, so he is taking my place. I submitted names, and he was certainly high on that list that I submitted, but I was so relieved when he was chosen. Any of the ones on the list I'd have been happy with, but in my mind, we needed a calm leader who could just kind of, you know, as an interim, mind the store, keep things going positively. Dave's it. So I feel much more comfortable about my departure now that I know who's going to be in charge of the campus.
Well, certainly there have been memorable moments. I mean, you cannot be anywhere for 4 years plus that you've been here and not have built just a foundation of memories.
Oh, sure. I'll tell you that. You know, my first exposure to Griffin, I came here. No, it's really where my last three positions. This is the fourth position that I've started on November 1st, and that's just weird because that doesn't usually happen. However, my birthday has a lot of threes in it, and if you think of 11-1, that's three. So there's got to be. I need to buy lottery tickets or something. But so I came here November 1st of 2015, and 3 weeks later, or I guess 4 weeks later, was the Griffin Christmas Parade. And so I was brand new. Beth Horn and George Grenade came to see me to talk about the parade, what we do in the parade. And they said, well, we typically pull a trailer and sing the fight song and do stuff like that. And I said, well, isn't there a theme? It's a Christmas parade. And they said, yeah, it's Christmas movies. I said, my favorite Christmas movie in the world is A Christmas Story with the leg lamp.
You'll shoot your eye out.
You'll shoot your eye out. That's right. It's my favorite. I watch it 100 times during Christmas, every year. But so I said, let's do something like that. And they said, okay, well, what are you willing to do? I said, tell me. Just tell me.
Don't tell me you were the deranged Easter Bunny. Oh, man.
Beth came back to me and said, we're going to do that, but we want you to be the deranged Easter Bunny. So I said, absolutely. Didn't tell them what I was going to do. I went on Amazon and bought the best deranged. It looked just like his suit. Didn't show anybody. And they were a little concerned that I really wasn't going to do what I said I would do. But I thought this would be proving ground. So my exposure to Griffin, Georgia, on the front of the float, which by the way we won that year, was as the pink Easter Bunny suit.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, I can only suppose that a student played Ralphie just to try to get the young look.
Actually, one of our unit heads, Stephanie Sweat, her youngest son did, and he looked perfect. And Stephanie played the mom. We won, which was incredible. So it set the bar, and so certainly that was memorable. And I had people, I'd met a few people that I saw along the route. Some of them were like laughing, and some of them were shaking their head like you could tell they're like, "What have we done?" Yeah, but again, to me, I wanted to show people I'm just Lou. I'm not. There's nothing special about it. The next year, so we set the bar pretty high. We won, right? So the next year, which had been my second year, the theme was Christmas miracles. So we decided to make a football field and have us win in the championship, right? We were a year ahead of ourselves because we almost even got the score right, but no one understood what our Christmas miracle was, that we were the championships over Alabama, or we were the champions. So we didn't win that year, so we were a little discouraged. Third year, they come to me and they said, "We've decided what we want to do. We want to do a 50s cafe because it was a rock and roll Christmas. Will you be Elvis?" I'm like, "Sure." So I got the Elvis wig, had the Elvis glasses. Still had my mustache at the time, so it looked a little strange. But guess what? We won. So last year, so my last one, which would be last year, they came and said, "It's Charlie Brown." I'm like, "Okay." So I got Charlie Brown suit. Guess what? We won. So, but we didn't win because of me. We won because what the awesome thing is, when we got this momentum going, we would have probably 12 golf carts all with about, you know, thousands of lights on them, a great float that our facilities people and others would get in and build. And it really became a true campus community event. And so and a lot of effort went into it. But so 3 out of the 4 years I was here, we won. So my challenge to everyone on campus is keep that system or that record going.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to do this a little bit early because we're going to transition. We've talked about the physical changes. Okay. Next, we want to talk about the academic changes that have taken place in your time on the Griffin campus. But we'll take our quick first time out. This is the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News on AM 1450 WKEU, 102.3 FM and 88.9 FM, The Rock. Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farms, We Build Forest, and Murray Company Realty, proud supporters of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus, and proud to bring you this installment of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News over WKEU AM 1450, 102.3 FM, and 88.9 FM, The Rock, Georgia Public Radio at its finest. The Harris's involvement with the students of today ensure for our community a brighter tomorrow. Dr. Lou Honeycutt, Assistant Provost and Campus Director on the University of Georgia Griffin campus, may not be lost in space, but he will be lost to the University of Georgia Griffin campus starting tomorrow. His final day is tomorrow, and he'll be moving on to Nash Community College in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, and we are kind of unhappy to hear that, but we do wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors. But we talked earlier about the physical changes, the Mule Barn being transformed into the Dundee Cafe,
sure,
which was a much lengthier process than I'm sure you envisioned.
Absolutely.
I mean, it did. I mean, you know, little things always seem to come up.
Oh, they do. The weird thing for the University of Georgia is we had the money before we had the project, and that's so unheard of. But Tom.
But then you worked hard with Tom and with Harry Kerbo and the Dundee Community
absolutely.
Association.
I mean, they have been so incredible. But it took the university about 13 months to catch up because they're used to having a project and a plan, and then they go after the money. So we freaked them out a little bit. In fact, it garnered me and Tom an invitation to the president's box for one of the games last year. Unfortunately, Tom's a Georgia Tech fan because he has a grandson that might happen to play on Georgia Tech. And so they weren't interested in going, and I didn't. And I should have now that I know I'm leaving. But I didn't go because I didn't want to be the third wheel because it really was the donors that were asked.
Right.
I could have watched a game in the president's box, but I didn't. But no, it did take a little longer than we thought. The naming took longer. I mean, this was so new for the University of Georgia because it's an external campus from the main campus, and we had kind of everything ahead of time, but we persevered. Tom hung with me, and there were days I'd be like, "Give the money to somebody else, let's just go," but he hung with me, and it's because he shared the vision.
Well, yeah. And then you had to undergo the long process of finding the right person to go in there, and then, you know, you made a great choice with Marcy.
Oh my gosh. And we had here's how someone was looking over our shoulder. Many people were, because we put out 170 invitations across the state. Procurement did in Athens to get a vendor for this bill. You have to do it on – it's a process, and you have to go through state contracts and blah, blah, blah. So 170 invitations went out. They have to come to a mandatory meeting if they're going to apply. Mandatory meeting day comes. Four people showed up, four companies. All interested, but their concern was there'd never been food there. It was a brand new – they're going to have to expand their business to a brand new venue. That was a Friday. Monday was the deadline for applications. We got zero. So we had this – we dedicated a building on October 4th of last year, and we had no vendor. So we
But you really highlighted the historical aspect of it.
Absolutely. I mean that – and so they loved the venue, everyone that came in of the four, but their fear was this new undertaking to expand their business. Coincidentally, the next week, Melissa Gordon, my assistant director of academic affairs, and I went – I was doing a lunch and learn in Pike County. I had the slide of the cafe up, and I said, we have this incredible building, went through the history and all. I said, we don't have a vendor. We're hoping to get one soon and all. Well, the president of the Pike Chamber was in that lunch and learn. She called, who is our vendor now, Chef Marcy Bradbury, and said, you need to call these people. She was catering at the time. She said, this looks right up your alley. Well, I come in the office the next morning, and there's a note on my desk that says, call Marcy Bradbury. And I thought Bradbury was a made-up name, too, because, you know, food, Bradbury. I mean, and it said, interested in the cafe. So I just put it aside. I really thought one of my team in my office was playing a joke, a really bad joke. Set it aside. Beatrice comes in my office like 2 days later and said, have you called that number yet? And I said, I'm not going to call it. What, who is it? And she goes, you call that number right now. That's a potential vendor. I call Marcy, Chef Marcy. We immediately hit it off, and she came, I think, that day or the next day, looked at it, fell in love with the cafe. And I'm telling you, we could not have found a more perfect fit for what we wanted to do. So we were being looked after with no one else applying. And it took us about three more months to get her settled in because the university had never done external food either. So everything we did was brand new. But she hung with us, and it has surpassed my expectations on the community coming in.
Is there a cafe or anything of the sort on the Nash campus?
Yes. There's a culinary program, and they have a called the Tuscan Cafe with a brick oven pizza oven in it, too. You can cook your own pizza. So somewhat like that, but not nearly historic and like our Dundee Cafe.
Yeah, which was a long and drawn-out process, and it took a great deal of perseverance and patience.
It did.
But what
a great facility we have now. And it's full of history. That was the point, to make it as much a museum as anything else. And every piece of history in there is either from the station, the slash station Griffin campus, or Dundee Mills, and it's been incredible.
One of the things that is renowned for your campus is the bricks.
When
people graduate at the Naomi Woodruff Pavilion, they get to lay their own little brick
and
come back over time. Do they do anything for assistant provost and campus directors?
No, that's strictly for graduates, which is good.
Certainly Dr. Arkin has some sort of footprint on that campus.
Oh, sure. I mean, when you've been here, and Jerry was here for 27 years and did incredible things. And so when you're here for 27 years and retire, you get a portrait put up in the hallway. In the main hallway.
Have you posed for yours yet? That's where I'm going.
No, and they asked me, Beatrice and Elizabeth and Ashley here in my office asked, when are we going to do yours? And I said, that I've only been here 4 years, and it's really more, and it sounds weird to say it this way, but it's really more of a privilege for those who put more time in and all that. So what I told them was, when you get the next one in, if they decide to do something, we'll talk. But
well, did y'all put out a campus newsletter? I mean, for the employees and the staff?
We did not. We do.
Well, see, now we can do that, and we'll just call it Lou's News, and we'll just keep it going, and it would keep you at least somehow involved.
I love
in
it.
The campus.
I think that's everybody listening. I think that's a great idea. We do. We send information out all the time. But one of the things I didn't get done that I wanted to get done was an annual report / information, because we are still hiding our light under a bushel basket to some extent. We have done incredible things in 4 years to get Athens involved with Griffin and to get the word out about how great we are, but it's the job's not done. And our campus, and I'm not saying this because I know people are listening because I'm leaving, but the Griffin campus is the most incredible campus I've ever been associated with regard to what's being done there. There is life-changing international research being done at any given time on that campus, with about 50 researchers working constantly. It is a University of Georgia campus. I would venture to tell you it's the best University of Georgia campus. I'm a little biased on that. But what I'm expecting Dave Button to do, and he will along with everybody there, is continue to shine the light on what we do there because it is truly remarkable.
Now, he knows that this could be a year or an 18-month process,
sure.
Right?
Because he signed up for a year.
That is one thing about the university system of Georgia. They do take their time and really diligently, you know, do their due diligence when it comes to trying to find somebody who's going to be a permanent fixture on the campus.
They do. I mean, in my case, they had done a search. They had hoped it would be 18 months. It took a little longer. They did a couple of different searches because they're national. And when you do national searches, it just takes longer.
And make no mistake, Chris Brayman did a great
job
holding down the fort.
Oh, my gosh. She's one of the first people I met, and it was so great getting to come back. When I came back to look for houses here, I met with her just like I did the president and Nash. And getting to set with Chris, her insight, and of course, now she is the department head of entomology in Athens, which is great for the College of Ag and for Griffin. But her insight and just great demeanor was just a great. I would call her many times for my first 6 months here and say, "Can you meet me?" We'd go sit outside of Urban Ag. I said, "I don't want to meet in office. Can you just meet with me?" And I would just vent.
She was somebody who would understand.
And she was so gentle about basically saying, "No, you're wrong, but let me tell you why." Or "Yeah, sure, I agree with that." But she and continues to this day to be an incredible resource for me.
Well, now we'll get into the meat and potatoes of what has really changed in your tenure here at UGA Griffin. And that's been a lot of the academic policies. Well, not policies, but a lot of been a lot of implementations.
Sure.
What is it that you're most proud of, and what would you like to see continue to be built upon?
Absolutely. When I got here, we were in a really bit of a fix in academics in that when 2008 happened, it shut the nation down, obviously, but then some things didn't recover. And for one thing, we lost a foundation position, someone that's going out and getting the donations that we needed for things, and we never got that back. But we also, with some retirements, they never replaced an academic affairs arm of the campus. Excuse me, which included recruiting. And so recruiting fell to what we call program coordinators. And these are people who, if you look at what they're supposed to do, when we get people in, when a recruiter gets, like if Tony wants to come to college and a recruiter recruits you.
That's a big if.
Well, especially Georgia, since you're Georgia Tech, I know that. But that's why I wanted to use you as an example. But typically a recruiter would turn you over to a program coordinator to take care of you through the process and get you in. What happened was we didn't have that recruiting arm, so the program coordinators then were also having to recruit. And it's tough to...
Well, you know, and obviously that is tough. But
oh,
Faye Chapman,
gosh.
You know, had done an incredible, job.
Yeah, she's a great example. Where she shines the most is when we get them to her. When we get a student to her, they are the most protected student on the planet, and they're going to succeed because Faye is so good at what she does. But she was having to stretch, and she did a great job at that, too, at recruiting. Well, so one of the best things I think we did is there's a very small budget for instruction in Griffin, very small. And a lot of it goes back, which it should, goes back to the Athens colleges that pay faculty to come here to teach. So, I mean, there's not much to work with. But I had to go back to the deans. We have five colleges on campus. I had to go back to those deans my first year and said to them, "I'm going to shrink your budgets next year," which is never something you want to say to deans. But I said, "But here's why. I've got to hire an assistant director or a director of academic affairs and a recruiter. It's going to cost you money right now, but the way the budget in Griffin works, we don't get budgeted on student credit hours and things like most colleges do. We just get a budget. The colleges get the student credit hour money. So as they grow students, it's more income for them to pay teachers."
Been incentivized.
Exactly. So I went through that with them, and they all reluctantly – no one wants to decrease budget. I mean, most of all. But they all agreed. They said, "Look, if this will help, you know, if you can show us that this," I said, "it can't hurt." We don't have a recruiter now. So we were able to, 2 years, it took us a while to get it done, but 2 years ago, we were able to hire the assistant director of academic affairs and the recruiter. And that, to me, it kind of completed the puzzle of academics for us. And what I tasked Melissa with, Melissa Gordon is our assistant director of academic affairs, and Teresa Parker is our recruiter. And what I tasked, and we hired them within about a month of each other, which was great. But I tasked Melissa with two things. I said, "Get us known. People don't know who we are, that we need that, and we need to grow." So she has those written. That's her mantras that they're hanging on her wall everywhere that she looks at, because that's really the two things I wanted her to do. What they have done, where before, if you asked 10 people, what is the University of Georgia Griffin campus? First, they would think it was Southern Crescent because that's the Griffin campus too. Or they would think it's some secret research thing that no one's supposed to look at, and you drive by without putting blinders on. And no one knew anything. And I worked very diligently to get the public to understand that we're open, come see us, all this kind of stuff. But what they did was get schools to understand. This is the University of Georgia. It's not a Griffin degree. It's a University of Georgia degree and all those things. And we were in a meeting Monday, and she showed me that right now prospects, and a prospect is anybody that says, hey, I want to go to University of Georgia Griffin. They may be going to be a freshman and they don't understand, they can't come, so it's a prospect. But where 2 years ago that prospect list might have been 50 or 60, the prospect list right now, 565. So that speaks volumes to me for the word getting out.
And then the policy that the state now has and the policy that the University of Georgia Griffin campus has, one, from the state aspect of things, I mean, conceivably a student can graduate with an associate's degree pretty much the same day they get their high school diploma.
Sure.
But there is a policy at UGA Griffin that dictates you have to sit out one calendar year beyond your senior year of high school. So, you know, that has to be a bit of a challenge.
It is.
But I think, you know, do you have a program in place for students such as that to direct them to one of the community college or to a Southern Crescent or to somewhere to spend that interim year? Because a lot of kids, if they leave academics, they never return.
Exactly. That's the key, is keep them in. And absolutely, that's what – in fact, when I first started reporting, Melissa does an activity report for me all the time. She's very data-driven, and I love that because I am too. When I first started taking the activity report with me to the provost meetings in Athens, the provost said, well, why are y'all going to high schools? And that's the reason. What we said, it was a simple answer, and she was happy with it. We've got to get UGA on their minds. But we've also got to talk with them and parents that maybe you don't take that 60 hours when you're in high school. Maybe you take 48 and then you go to Gordon for a year after high school. Because the rule, you have to sit out a year, but there's a caveat in there, or you have to meet freshman requirements to get in.
Right.
So, I mean, but our freshman requirements are so extremely high that it's just better to come to us after you sit out that year or after you have your...
Well, too, I would think that it would be good because of the intimidation factor. And I mean no offense when I say this, but if I'm going on a campus that is known, and it's stereotype maybe, but is known as a research facility that has that giant food pick building and the giant turf grass building, brand spanking new, and your turf grass people are doing World Cups and the Masters,
absolutely,
and then I'm going to be a little bit academically intimidated, and maybe I need some time somewhere else to get a little confidence under my belt that I can handle the rigors of the work.
Absolutely. And that, and the other thing they did, which is great, Teresa and Melissa both set up a series of monthly tours. And so any prospect that wants to, and they do, I think there's two a month, I can't remember actually right now, but when they do them, that's the purpose is to, and even if a parent and a child calls and says, well, we're not really ready yet, they still come on the tour. We want to hook them in, but it's that very thing. Let's get that scary part of coming on campus over with and get them kind of hooked in. They show them all over campus. They meet researchers, and they get to see the researchers are just people too. So I agree with you.
Well, I think this radio program has helped to that to a certain extent, is that they do see that these researchers aren't in the lab 24/7. They have outside interests. They have families. They're just like the rest of us.
And they have senses of humor.
They put their pants on one leg at a time. Only when they get theirs on, they're conducting world-class research.
Exactly, exactly. And that was, you know, and you have been here to know that's one of the things I wanted to do, was get people to understand that, because we have some of the funniest people. But if you only see them in their lab, they might not be being funny because they're heavily embedded in their work. But when you get them on the radio, they just bubble over. It's just been awesome to be able to do that.
What advice would you give your successor, not just the interim, but down the road, about the stereotype of the experiment station? I'm sure that's still something you're still battling to this day.
Oh, absolutely. I'm telling you, the cafe has helped, I would say, diminish 70% of that. It's been incredible what that camaraderie and community has done.
Has Chef Marcy done any sort of study at all, you being data-driven, about how much of her business is coming from off-campus and how much of it is actually derived from students and workers on the campus?
That's a good question. I don't think she has, but I can tell you, I eat there nearly every day, and I can tell you
see new faces all the time?
I see, and I don't think I've finished a meal there yet, which is a good thing. I love it, because people always come saying, because I wear a hat, I wear the cowboy hat.
Yeah, I mean,
like, are you the guy that's responsible for this?
Matter of fact, your celebratory thing tomorrow the hat is on the move.
Is on the move.
Right across the top of the flyer.
Exactly. So, I mean, but the good thing about that, I don't mind at all stopping and talking to anyone because it's typically people from the community that I don't know and that they're – and they say – and what's cool, I say, how did you hear about us? Well, my Sun City group talked to this other group or whatever. I mean, there's this connection happening. And almost 100% of the time early on they would say, and we didn't even think we were supposed to come in here. I don't hear that anymore. It's not – so that part's kind of going away. It's more – we heard this was a unique place to eat.
It used to be the only time anybody went on the UGA campus that was an employee was to vote at Stuckey Auditorium.
Absolutely, absolutely. Or to the garden or to
And Stuckey was about as far into campus as they would go.
It was. When I first got here, I was standing in Stuckey with some people, and they said, well, it's just a shame we can't go on campus. I'm like, you're on campus. Well, no, we're at the Stuckey Auditorium. I'm like, this is the campus. And there was just this misconception of what the experiment station / campus was. But my advice to my successor and future successors, there's two components of it. What we have done so diligently for 4 years is engage the community. And that the part that was missing from the Griffin campus, and it was nobody's fault, it's just what happens over decades, there was this lack of engagement of the community, so this quote-unquote secrecy factor perception kind of popped up. We've done away with that. I mean, it's the Christmas parade, deranged Easter Bunny was probably a good start.
Well, I will say this, and I would say this if you were not sitting here in front of me, but for our radio station here at WKEU, I am required to cover city and county commission meetings. And during a city commission meeting earlier this week, you were mentioned by name. There is a goodbye celebratory thing for Dr. Honeycutt. He's been instrumental in getting the campus out there in front of the community.
Oh, that's nice. That's wonderful.
City manager Kenny Smith said that.
That's awesome. Kenny's been great. You know, he came to me at the first meeting. I saw him after I took it. He said, I am so angry at you. He said, but I'm really happy for you. That's what I like to hear. I don't want people saying, when are you leaving? Can
but
we get
you're
some?
Right. I mean, you know, people did not hear or understand the footprint of UGA Griffin, and you really did an outstanding job of getting the word out and making people feel welcome on the campus.
Absolutely. And I think that was a key. There was such a big misconception. Fences went up long before I came here, that the fences went up to protect the people on campus from everybody. That's not true. Fences went up to protect the seed bank. That's not true. Fences went up because they're decorative, and good fences make good neighbors. I mean, it's, you know, it's just fences.
The one argument I would make against that, which I never bought into that theory, is if they were really going to be protective, I don't think you'd have chosen wrought iron.
Exactly. And, you know, 5-foot fences. I mean, it would have been barbed wire and electric.
That was the one thing that I thought. But, I mean, you really were active in the community, and you know, hopefully your successor will follow your lead on that.
Yes, and that's the number one thing that I think we need to do. And then, in which it will, as I told you, the level of pride's gone up so much. When I came, our gates didn't work very well. We had a faulty system, and so one of the misconceptions about not being supposed to be on campus is even I would drive up some mornings and couldn't get in. It just wouldn't open. I had a deal that made it open. And so we've really upped the ante of saying, you know, we've got to look like we want people here to get people
here. Another thing that I tell people, and you should be proud of this because this largely happened under your watch, the size of the parking lot has grown exponentially. And, it, you know, you didn't build all that for people not to use them.
No, exactly. We've got plenty of parking there. Last year we went through a thing with a perceived parking issue.
I mean, I remember when it was, you know, you had park on the street.
Sure. No, absolutely. I mean, there's plenty of places to come in and see us. And so community engagement, though, I think is the number one thing that I would talk to the successor. You can't succeed without community involvement. And I think sometimes universities, sometimes any industry or college decides that may not be the important thing. It couldn't be farther from my mind. That's one of the things I like about Nash Community College is it kind of gets me back to personal mission. This has been an incredible experience for me. But being able to literally go in and change lives of students, which community colleges do every day, is something that kind of gets me back to my personal mission.
Getting to Nash, is there going to be a little bit of an adjustment period for you dealing with veteran students here in Griffin, and now you're going to be dealing with a younger set and the newbies, as it were,
absolutely,
in the college scene?
The good news is I have 12 years of experience doing just that, and before the 4 years here, and it was it was a learning curve when I first got there. It'll be a learning curve back at Nash, but especially with the number of students there are. But
well, and you've really learned here, if you didn't have before, how to deal with a non-traditional student.
Oh my gosh! And the leadership skills I've been able to garner here, and I will tell you, people listening will know exactly what I'm saying. But I have learned to filter myself way better than I used to how I speak, because I'm very direct anyway, and I've learned. Because there are 325 people on the Griffin campus. At my previous college, there were 89. And I was at two other rural campuses, and I didn't see all of them all the time.
So and you were actually the end of the line here.
Exactly. So, I mean, I've had to really learn and I don't always do it, but I'm getting better at kind of filtering, which as a president, you kind of need to filter. So that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Well, let's make this next question an exit interview type question. For your predecessor, or your successor, I should say, excuse me, what change would you like to see implemented to make his job easier?
That's a good question. That's a good exit question. The good news is, I'd say the first part of that, the people that we have on campus now, it's more of a team mentality, more of a group. We're all in this together kind of group. And quite frankly, 4 years ago, it wasn't. And so it's not just me being there, but we have worked diligently through the unit heads, our department heads, different things to kind of say incorporate, you know, engage, empower, all those kind of things. So I think I'm leaving with that in a good situation. But what I would to make Dr. Dave Bunton's life easier, I would say the most critical piece is to engage on campus too. I mean, yes, the community, but you got people to do that too. But I think continue to engage and empower on the community or the campus. I panic daily when I hear that someone from our grounds crew or our custodial services is moving on somewhere else. Administrators are a dime a dozen. We can replace them all day long, including me. I mean, I'm leaving and I'm going to be replaced. When someone that's doing the skills that we need done, an HVAC person, a welder, a painter, decides they're going to leave, it just panics me because it is so hard to find those people to replace in those positions.
And one thing about it at UGA Griffin, if you look at people in those positions, they are there for multiple years.
Exactly.
Many retire from there.
Exactly. With that great history that they have.
And you know, what can develop camaraderie better than that?
Oh, absolutely. And it does. I mean, our retirees come back. We have one meeting every year, but they come back and drink coffee. I mean, it's a great – the station part of the campus. You know, and I fought really hard to switch over to campus because it's so – it includes the station, but everything else. But the station part of the campus will always be there, and that's truly that 20, 30, 40-year person that still engages the campus. But we got a lot of new ones too. And so I think that what Dave's challenge, and it's not a challenge, it's an opportunity, and the next person's is to continue that communication across campus, because it is really easy to get lost in your own world and kind of isolate yourself off or silo up and just do your job. But there is so much more to that campus than just our jobs. We do all kinds of things.
Well, I'm going to throw my two cents in on this. I have been a proponent, and I did. I think it's off asking an awful lot of the campus director, be it you or who follows or Jerry Arkin previously, to try to juggle the agricultural side of the house on one hand and the academic on the other. Might it be beneficial to divide those responsibilities?
When I first took the job, I talked to my unit heads. We don't call them department heads. The people that answer directly to me are called unit heads. And so in the first – because I had the hardest days of my job, my 4 years, have been telling my office team and the unit heads that I was leaving. Two reasons. Number one, it was hard because it was a shock to everybody. But secondly, I knew once I said the words, it was going to spread like wildfire. So I'd planned – I had all these emails written so I could fly emails out as quick as I could, because everyone wants a personal message, but I couldn't physically do that. So, I mean, it was tough to do, or tough to get that message out. But when I talked to them the first time, I said, you know, it could be time to split these. It's an incredibly time-consuming position, because – and I'm so proud I had it, and I think I've done a good job. But the provost side of me reports directly to the provost, which has been the most beneficial thing for our campus in the last 4 years. Dr. Pam Witten, who was the provost when I got hired on, opened more doors for us in Athens than she was so gracious and helped me out so much. So I was so happy to get – I got the provost here 2 times a month for 30 minutes. Deans don't even get that. So I got to sit across from her and talk. And we would talk about all the issues and things we need to fix. The experiment station side answers to the dean of the College of Agriculture, Sam Pardue. Incredible man. I mean, he's been incredibly awesome to me. But when you put those two, they took an assistant vice president position and a director position and threw them together and said, let's find some idiot to apply, and this crazy Texan did. I thought at first it might be a good idea. So I talked to the provost. I said, you know, because he's new. We have a new provost now, brand new. He started on July 1st. My second meeting with him, I said, oh, by the way, I'm going to be leaving.
I would have told him it was because of him.
Well, he's been very, very supportive. And you know, it's one of the things I'm going to miss. Jack Hu, who is the new provost, is incredible. And I am going to miss not being able to work with him. But I mentioned it to him, too. I said, you might consider a split again, because I think it's time that it might work. But after 2 or 3 weeks of thinking about it and talking to others, it's easy to do that. But it's almost too dangerous that it might. When I got there, there was a little bit of a rift between the academic side and the experiment station side, because there were two leaders. And so it'd be like, right. Well, I don't answer to you. I answer to someone. So when the buck stopped in my office, that was a good thing. And so the consensus is now, and so I've actually done a 180 in how I was thinking about it. They just got to find the right person. And Dave Button is the right person.
Well, I would think ideally they would be the academic side, the agriculture side, and then you at the top.
Sure. I mean, that would work even better.
But,
yeah.
Of course, you know, that would be financially restrictive,
sure,
I feel
sure.
certain.
Well, what I hope will happen, and I think it will, between Crystal McDowell, who is our Assistant Director of Student Affairs, and Melissa Gordon, Assistant Director of Academic Affairs, Dave's already met, Dr. Mountain's already met with all of my unit heads with me, but my hope is that, and he will, he's going to depend heavily on them to become even more, they're great leaders already, but to become even more leader-oriented for the academic side. And my hope would be that in the time period that Dave's in charge, that kind of happens, where he is the top. He's doing, and he's a 30-year researcher, an incredible entomology researcher. So, I mean, he's got the research side down. And he also teaches. He's taught in the academic program since it started at Griffin. So he's got the knowledge on both sides. But my hope is during his time, he will lean on the unit heads, which I've told him we have an incredible group. Let them do things, you know, empower them to do stuff. And then by the time the new person comes in, there's kind of a standard set that Crystal and Melissa, those two positions, quote unquote, run academics, and this person can concentrate more on the experiment station side. And then everybody wins, because it's kind of that model. You kind of have that research side, academic side, with someone on top doing that. So
yeah, somebody has to top that pyramid.
Somebody has to top the pyramid.
That's
right.
We're going to take a quick time out. We're going to let Dr. Lou Honeycutt say his final goodbyes to the people on staff. And we can't tell you how much we've enjoyed his presence here on the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. But first, we're going to get a word from the Frank and Carolyn Harris, the sponsors of this program. And we'll take a look at announcements upcoming for activities on the UGA Griffin Campus. Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farms, We Build Forest, and Murray Company Realty, proud supporters of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus, and proud to bring you this installment of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News over WKEU AM 1450, 102.3 FM, and 88.9 FM, The Rock, Georgia Public Radio at its finest. The Harris' involvement with the students of today ensure for our community a brighter tomorrow. In news and announcements from the UGA Griffin campus, you are invited to visit the campus Facebook page at UGA Griffin on Monday, October 14th at 12:30 p.m. for a live broadcast from Courtney Corley, a student on campus. Learn why she chose to study interdisciplinary studies in sociology and to get a degree at the Griffin campus. She will be live to answer questions. An informational lunch and learn for secondary educators will be held on October 17th. A few seats do remain. If interested, reach out to Melissa Gordon at 770-412-4018. The College of Family and Consumer Sciences will have a lunch and learn on October 22nd on the UGA Griffin campus. The session will focus on a symposium that will be held in February, with focus being placed in the field of financial planning on the need to increase diversity in the field. This year's symposium will be one that not only educates students about the field of financial planning, but also provides a platform for discussion of the need to focus on diversity and inclusion in the field. Those who are teachers, advisors, counselors, mentors, or employees employers of those who may benefit from learning about the field of financial planning are encouraged to attend the luncheon and learn how you can nominate individuals to participate in the symposium. Some seats remain for the event, so contact 770-412-4400 for more information. December 3rd will be the first Future Griff Dogs Night. If you are a high school student or a recent graduate, this is an opportunity for you to learn about the degrees offered on the UGA Griffin campus and how you can learn to create your pathway to becoming a UGA Griffin student. The event is free. However, registration is required. Contact 770-412-4400. And the UGA Research and Education Garden is hosting Scarecrows in the Garden October 15th and on Halloween. If you know of a business or organization that might like to create a scarecrow to put on display in the garden, please contact 770-228-7243. And we're back here on the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News for what probably will be the final time, depending on Dr. Bunton, is the Darth Vader music lead in to back in the original days of the program when Dr. Honeycutt first became the campus director and assistant provost. This would be the only portion of the program he really participated in, and that was the announcements. And so I had to give that sense of foreboding that the boss was in town. And so we played the Darth Vader march. And from Star Wars, of course. But Dr. Honeycutt, we really hate to see you go. But, you know, I'm sure there are a litany of people that you want to thank.
Oh, my gosh. You know, first and foremost, just because we're talking on this show, certainly Bill Taylor and you, Tony, because, my gosh, you've made this job so easy for
me. Well, I appreciate that. I think I've been the producer since you got
here. Have the whole time, yeah. Because the first time I ever walked in, I'm like, why is there a yellow jacket on the table out there? And it was a Georgia Tech thing. But
Well, the whole studio is done up in Georgia.
It is. So you had to have a little piece in there. But
right.
And, of course, again, Bill Taylor, who's been so gracious to host us and allow us to use the station to do this. And, of course, Frank and Carolyn Harris wouldn't be remiss without saying thank you to the sponsors because they have been so supportive for many, many years. And, you know, I'll send out a shout up to heaven to Bobby Chappell because he did such an incredible job before I even came around. And after I came around and then after his health kind of started deteriorating, we kind of made the shift, but he was such an incredible, talk about dry sense of humor. I loved him. I mean, he was just so quippy and good at what he did. So certainly Bobby is another big thank you. And then, and I, you know, a broad one I'll send out to Griffin Spalding County to be, I'm an outsider, always will be, but they didn't make me feel that way. I mean, I've been really embraced in the community. A lot of people were nervous about, will he interact in the community? Will he do? I don't think they were nervous for very long because I got involved with most everything.
Well, I think they were pleasantly surprised because in the past, UGA Griffin wasn't very involved in the community. I mean, sure, it had Griffin on it, but that was the extent of it.
Exactly. So, I mean, certainly the Griffin, Spalding County have been great to me, and I've certainly enjoyed living here. I lived west of town but still in the county. And then, of course, last but certainly not least at all, is, and I'll split this out a little bit, but the team that's on the campus in Griffin, they, you know, I'm not going to say that everybody's there are some that are dancing in the streets that I'm leaving, but you're not a good leader if everyone's happy. So, you know, I just kind of expect that. But the great outpouring of the, we're so happy for you, but we're sorry you're leaving, that's makes me feel good. And the other part that makes me feel good is I'm not running away from here. I'm not saying, man, I'm counting the days till. It's a melancholy feeling for me to be leaving. And I would certainly be remiss if I didn't pick a few people out. I have an incredible office team. They are three people that keep me in line and have kept me, they've tried at least, kept me out of trouble for 3 years, Elizabeth, Ashley, and Beatrice. And they're kind of the unsung heroes of the campus because, you know, I'm very good, and I hope I always will be, at sharing praise because I get a lot of praise laid on me, like with the cafe and with the campus. It is not me. I get to be the leader that directs. We got so many people doing the work, and those three ladies keep me out of trouble as much as they can.
Elizabeth is my work wife.
There you go. Exactly. And I've got three work wives. I mean, exactly.
I do consider Elizabeth Laney, your assistant, your executive assistant, as my, she's my work wife. When I, whenever there is a problem or something that I need from UGA, she's the one I call, and she's always coming through.
And always smile. They're all, that's what's so great about
and
all
Beatrice,
three of them.
I mean, could you, and even Ashley too. Are you
absolutely
ever going to meet nicer people?
I mean,
forget working with them. I mean, you can't yell at them if they do something wrong just because they're so nice.
You know, Elizabeth, God bless her, she's the one that has to deal with my rolling eyes, because she's the one that has to come in and tell me bad stuff. And so I have a standing desk, so I'm always standing up. And it kind of makes, not them, but a lot of people nervous because I'm standing up all the time. But she's the one that walks in and says, well, I need to tell you something. And she knows what I'm going to, and it's not intended towards her, but it's like, you know what? So she's had to endure a lot. But we get over it really quick. And move on. So they've been an incredible, incredible team. I even gave my new assistant, who will be my assistant, her name's Odell Holiday, at Nash, their email addresses and vice versa, and said, I will never ask what y'all talk about, but talk and see. You can garner from them the kind of person I am. Don't know if they have or not. I'm not going to ask them. But that was pretty brave, I think, to give my current people and my new person the contact information.
Give them their own sort of exit interview.
Exactly. But it was a good thing, and I'm glad I did it, and I hope they've contacted her, because she's going to be she's only worked for one president. So, I mean, she's a little nervous as well, but she's been incredible, too.
And then, I mean, all the academic and physical changes that have gone on the campus that you've been responsible for. I mean, you know, it's got to be somewhat comforting. I mean, a little bit nervous going to a new job,
sure,
and wondering,
sure,
how it's going to work out. But I'm sure you can look back with pride at the changes that you knew that you were instrumental in making on the UGA Griffin campus.
It is. You know, I've always said, and it sounds cliche, but it's true, if you can leave a place, quote unquote, better than you found it, that's success.
Well, there's no argument there.
And it is. We have done in 4 years what I didn't expect to get done in 10, as far as upgrades, and the campus looks like a university, official University of Georgia, incredible campus. And a whole lot of people made that happen. I just happened to be the guy that got to direct that.
Well, I'm going to offer you some unsolicited advice,
okay,
as we depart the program and we let you go on and become the president at Nash Community College. One, probably invest in either volleyball or badminton equipment.
Okay.
Your campus was noted for the soccer games.
Absolutely.
And I don't know that Nash is quite the international flair that the Griffin campus does. So
exactly.
You might need another sport. But I do think that is a terrific bonding element.
Oh, my gosh, it
is. For your campus.
Sure.
And, you know, if you can find something like that to bond your people and get them to know, if they see the side of you that we get to see.
Sure.
I mean, I'm sure there are employees on the UGA Griffin campus that don't, because you have to be boss.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
And, I mean, here you get it, you had an hour a week, and you would say this yourself, where you could just be yourself.
Exactly. That it is.
And hopefully you will be able to, through the radio station and television stations that are present on Nash Community College's campus, in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, you'll be able to do a little something. Because one of the questions Elizabeth asked is, you know, will you still be doing some sort of public relations role through the media?
And I hope so. I mean, that is certainly on campus. But that the great thing about Nash Community College is the county also puts money into the college. And so even if I didn't want to, there's a community service component. But that's I'm going to brag about myself for a minute and say I think I excel in that, to be able to go out and visit with other people. And
so you're gregarious.
Exactly. And I'm looking very much forward to talking to city commission. There's about 14 cities or little towns in Nash County. I'm looking forward to getting to know all of them, and because, quite frankly, that's where the funding comes from, and that's where donors come from. But just to let them see, sometimes you think president, and you think kind of like the researchers, you think stuffy, not going to sit in an office all day, and that's
dodgy.
Exactly. That's not who I am, and I want them to learn really quickly. There's 550-plus people that work there. And so I'm at Nash Community College. So, I mean, it's going to take me a while. I don't know all 325 that work in Griffin. I know most of them. But it's going to take me a while to know them. And they are going to have to understand that, number one, lose-lose, and I'm really direct, but there's no subterfuge about it. And I think that's what they're most nervous about, is what's this new guy going to be like?
Well, that's anything.
Exactly.
And once, you know, give them, I'm sure, I mean, the same things were said about you when you took over.
Absolutely,
here.
Absolutely.
You know, Chris Brayman is as easy to get along with person as you will ever meet in your life.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And so I'm sure, you know, there were some apprehensions and some misgivings at the onset.
Sure.
And, you know, 4 years later, you hate going.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something people need to understand.
Let me just ask you this in closing.
Yeah.
Was this the one thing that would have pulled you away?
Yes. And
just between us, had there been others, then you just said, no, I'm happy.
I'll tell you, the best thing I can tell you is there was an offer for a presidency in Texas.
Oh, wow.
I want you to keep this in mind. Prior to the start of construction for the Dundee Cafe. And it was two presidents in Texas called me, friends of mine, and said, we finally got the one for you. And
that would have been right up your
alley. It would have been back home. It would have been, and I really thought I would end back up in Texas. I didn't know if I'd be a president, but I thought I would eventually. But without hesitation, I told the first one that called, I'm like, we haven't done the cafe yet. I won't consider anything. And I, you know, and made him mad. Well, the next one called and said the same thing, and I said, and so I didn't do it, and I'm glad I didn't, because, but I said to myself then, if something opens up after a presidency, after the Dundee Cafe is done, it would have to be a good one, but I might look at it. We opened on April 16th. On May 3rd, a company called me about this job. The next morning, a friend of mine from Chicago, who I haven't talked to in 6 years, sent me the same link and said, you need to look at this. And I'm like, if it's so good, why didn't you take it? And she said, because it's in the middle of the country, and I like to be in Chicago. So I thought, wait a minute, this is something I need to look at. And it was kind of like when I looked at the website here. When I went on Nash's website and looked, I almost, honestly got hooked really quickly and wanted to look at that. But it had to be something good, because my love of the Griffin campus has not diminished at all. And a lot of people leave jobs and are like, I don't care what happens when I leave. I care deeply about what happens when I leave. And I'm only 7 hours away, so I'm going to be checking in. I'll come eat shrimp and grits on Friday sometime. And
well, so our listenership knows, we are not at all abandoning the UGA Griffin Campus News. We will continue the program. I think I'm going to be the interim host here for a little while until we can get things acclimated on campus. And,
sure.
And the folks on the UGA Griffin Campus can decide in what direction they want to go in continuation of the radio program. So you're going to be stuck with that aspect of it. But Dr. Lou, I want to thank you so much for all that you've done. You've made me a better producer. I'm not afraid to be the host, because I've seen how congenial you can be with
awesome.
The staff, and it's really allowed me to do the same. And, you know, I've always been the stuffy, stodgy, you know, I better not get too terribly involved with them, because they're going to get over my head in a hurry. But you've made that so easy for me to be able to relate to them now, and I truly do appreciate it.
Well, thank you for saying that, and you've been a great producer. I mean, it's been a great relationship, and again, I keep telling everybody I'm not dying, I'm just moving.
Well, I mean, again, I'm going to, you know, echo the sentiments of the people on campus. You know, we're very happy for you.